Daniel chapter 6. It's either on the screen or in your bulletin. The king chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked." So King Darius signed the law. But Daniel refused to worship the king and was thrown into the den of lions. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. "I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Thank you, Dave. So if you've been engaged at all in what's been on the news feed this week, I think you'll probably agree that while it's easy to live out our faith when we're together, when we're within, so to speak, the four walls of the church, but I believe it's becoming more and more challenging to live our faith out as we go out the door, as we go down the street, as we live in our neighborhoods, as we make our way to work, as we gather in people's backyards, as we reach out and serve those around us. Daniel had the same challenge. Let me bring you up to speed if you're a guest with us today. We've been following Daniel's story, and right now Daniel is about 80 years old. Now I'll kind of throw that out to those of us that are of retirement age and maybe have been retired for a little while. Notice the activity level of Daniel when he's 80. Now, what's amazing is he's still serving in the royal palace, but he's gone through tremendous change. He is on his third king, Nebuchadnezzar, his grandson, and now he has Darius the Mede. Now, Darius the Mede, that doesn't sound Babylonian. That sounds more Persian, and that's exactly right. Originally, the kingdom that Daniel came to was the Babylonian Empire after they had defeated the Syrians. And now it's the Persians that have come in, and they have defeated the Babylonians. Notice, in all of that change, Daniel has remained in his position. He's still a leader, a great leader. So why was Daniel such a standout? What made him a little bit different than everyone else that was trying to lead and serve the king? I think it's a great checklist for us. Number one, he stood out because he had great professional competency. He was good at what he did. He tried hard at what he did. Look at verse 3. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officials to this new king. Daniel has always been this way. He's always been a leader, but now there's someone else in rule, and can he serve him? Can he lead as he's capable and willing to do? And the answer is yes, he did. He was better than all the administrators and high officials. Daniel had great ability. The king made plans to place him over the entire empire. The whole thing. Now, professional competency. I'll quote my mom. My mom would say to me when I was young, I don't really care what you do when you graduate from school and you're on your own. I don't care whether you're a professional or you work for the reclamation department. Whatever you do, do a good job of it. Bring your very best to it each and every day. And I find that anybody that tries to bring their very best every single day, everybody that's trying to do the best job with what they've been given, it's amazing how they stand out. They stand out because of their hard work. They stand out because of their commitment. They stand out because they're bringing all the ability they have to that task, to that moment. And Daniel was excellent at that. He was exceptional at that. And I don't think that's about what our post is in life as much as it is about making the most of whatever post we have at this stage or phase of our life. Number two, he had a great and consistent character. His personal character shined out. Then the other administrators and high officials began searching for some fault in the way that Daniel was handling the government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Wow, that's great personal character, isn't it? Somebody that his bosses could count on. Somebody that his co-workers could rely on. He had a good personal character, and we've talked about personal character from a couple of other angles than just this moment. You know, what is our integrity worth in the world that we live in? Are we people who live the way that we talk? Are we trying to honor God and honor other people as we make our way? And yeah, we're all fallible there. Perhaps we're not as good as Daniel. But I want us to see that it's not about being just like Daniel. It's about being just like you. The best you that you can be. God created you with a great image of who you are and who you can become. And that does begin with our relationship and our transformation vis-a-vis Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But that sets us up for success each and every day. And again, as we bring our very best to a task, let's do that with integrity. Let's do that with a sense of encouragement of those around us, with an understanding that we fail too. No circumstance is perfect and no person is perfect. But we can't allow that imperfection to be the default of our life. We should step it up. We should step into those challenges in life. And in those challenges of life, as we said last week, you know, when we're in the furnace, who we really are shows up. Our personal character shows up. The third thing that made Daniel stand out was his persistent commitment to God. Look at verse 5. Go back up to 4, and you'll notice they're looking for a reason to pick on Daniel. They don't like Daniel. Daniel's been the favorite of the king for a long time, and that's making other people jealous. So they're looking. Where is Daniel goofed up? What is he doing that we know we can leverage to go complain about him to the king? So they concluded, our only chance to find grounds of accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. His religion, his faith. I believe that our faith, how we act, how we respond to things, that speaks far louder than the words that we speak. And Daniel was a guy that walked the talk. He believed in God. He understood the revelation of God revealed to him. He took that and he went about God's plan for his life. And what was true about Daniel is he was never on automatic. You know, that's kind of one of the fun things about living in a digital age. We have so many things that are automatic. Lots of things that are done for us at just the right time. In fact, now we don't even have to pick up our cell phones, let alone do the dial, push the buttons. We don't even have to do that anymore. All we have to do is just what? Speak in our homes. Then the lights go down and the lights go up. All we have to do is speak in our TVs are turned on, or they're turned off. We can speak in our houses and order whatever we need in just a few moments. I believe that it's easier today to be on automatic than ever before. But the place to never be on automatic is your relationship with God. Daniel didn't have an automatic setting. We'll see that he was very dedicated, not only each and every day, but throughout the day. And I believe that there are plenty of people watching us. They're watching to see what kind of a job we do. They're watching and looking and evaluating our character. As we make our way, as we rub shoulder with other people at work or in the community or even in the church, people are looking for our commitment to our faith, our commitment to Jesus. And that commitment for Jesus is, well, it's never been more challenging, I believe, to be a standout person wherever we go. But for sure, Daniel is a great example of what we should aspire to in our life, in our relationships, in our faith with Jesus Christ shared with one another. Daniel was not only a standout, but he stood out. He stood up. He stood up to the challenges that the other authorities and leaders wanted to bring against him. He had already been thrown into the furnace. Now there was a chance he would be fed to the lions. And sometimes we feel like we're going to be fed to the lions. We're being fed to the lions. Some of us come today, we've got some pieces out of us that the lions have taken. We've wanted and we've done good. The problem is that's come at a cost, hasn't it? Some of us have bites out of us. Others have been tortured by the pecking of the ducks in our life. What do we do? Well, first, I think it is about being a standout, but then it's about standing up. How do we stand up in our culture today? How do we stand up at work? How do we stand up in public? How do we stand up as we make our way each and every day? Well, again, Daniel has a few things to teach us. And notice the very first thing that Daniel teaches us is that we're to pray. And not just pray one time a day, but let that be the opening conversation you have with God. And carry on that conversation throughout the day. Notice what Daniel does. Daniel went home and he knelt down and he prayed as usual, three times a day, giving thanks to his God. Now, three times a day, praying every time you eat. Now, it doesn't mean the donuts necessarily. But isn't it interesting, if we prayed at breakfast and we prayed at lunch and we prayed at dinner, we too would pray three times a day. It's easy to remember to pray three times a day as you eat. What I know about Daniel is it's about carrying on this conversation with God throughout the day. I had one friend who didn't feel as though he was hearing God very well. He didn't feel very close to God. And so what he decided to do is that every hour he would stop for 5 minutes and pray. He was decided to do that for 30 days. For 30 days, every hour I'm awake, I will spend 5 minutes checking in with God, talking to God, listening to God. And what he told me is it really didn't take very long. It didn't take 30 days. He said after about a week, it became this what? Ongoing conversation with God. We need an ongoing conversation with God. We should feel free to talk to him, and we ought to take the opportunity to listen to him. We should ask him to speak to us and inform us about our circumstances, about our relationships. If you want me to pray for you, just make an appointment with me. I always try to take at least a moment or two and pray as I meet with someone that God would direct me and I would hear him. And sometimes that's about what to say, but I'm an extrovert, and so it's usually about what I don't say, what I shouldn't say. Close your mouth, Koenigsaker. Carry on a daily conversation with God. Number two, we see that what he did was to look to God. Oh, let me go back and say one more thing. And as he prayed, notice what happens. He thanks God every time. He thanks God every time. Thanksgiving reminds us of all the good things that God has done for us. And what a great day. I wake up in the morning and I thank God for what he's done for me. I sit down at lunch and I thank God for what he's done for me. At dinner, I stop and I thank God for what he's given me in the day, in the week, in the month, in the year. And when we face challenges in our lives, what we need to remind ourselves is when God has shown up, when God has been there for us, when we prayed in great need and he responded, he was faithful. He brought resources and encouragement and others by our side. Notice that he always kept his eyes on heaven and the eternal rewards. Then the officials went together, went to Daniel's house and found him praying. So they went straight to the king and said to the king, shouldn't he be thrown into the lion's den? Shouldn't he? Well, he was breaking the law. Notice how Daniel got set up. We're going to look around for everybody over the next 30 days. And anybody that's not worshiping the king, that is worshiping anyone or anything else, then what we're going to do is punish them. We're gonna throw them into this pit with a bunch of lions in there, hungry lions. And notice, Daniel got found out. In fact, if you look at that passage, he prayed with his windows open. Why didn't he shut the windows? Why didn't he hide? He didn't. He opened the windows so that the people around him could actually hear him praying. Man, it's hard to be bold when oppression or negativity surrounds us. It's hard when the culture is moving one way and we're kind of moving the other way. It's hard for us to stay faithful to what we believe, how we live, how we relate to others, and it's never been more challenging. I've told the elders more than once, I have not known a more challenging time to lead in a church in all of my history than right now. Than right now. And I'm kind of like you, I have a fear of rejection too. As Christians, we do want to be liked. In fact, maybe even beyond that, I would hope that that how we live our lives would stand out to other people. But now it's more than easy to be rejected by someone else. One of my neighbors made a comment to one of the other neighbors. Are they Christians? Maybe you've seen my name. I don't know. It's on the back of my wife's truck. It parks in the driveway almost every day. He must be the pastor, one of the pastors of that church. I don't like Christians because they are so judgmental. That's what she told the neighbor. So judgmental. Well, I don't think it's being judgmental. I think it's living out my faith. Do I want to be kind and loving to people who believe differently? Absolutely. We're to show charity to everyone. Charity, not anger. Charity, not hatred. I know the rap of Christians these days. You're just a bunch of haters. You're judgmental, and therefore you're haters. And Daniel shows us that we don't have to hate. We just have to stand firm and live out our faith. I'm going to quote Andrew Brunson, who was the missionary that was imprisoned for 2 years in a Turkish prison. Perhaps you've caught some of his interviews and his backstory about being very hopelessly imprisoned in solitary confinement in a Turkish prison for being a Christian. And Rick and I had the pleasure of hearing him twice when we were back at our denominational national meeting in Denver. And I wrote down several things that he said, but this quote was the one that really got to me. It spoke volumes, not only about his experience, but the culture that we're living in. Sometimes God gives his children difficult things to do. Difficult directions. Difficult assignments. Difficult opportunities. And I'm like you. I don't want difficulty. I only want enough challenge that I can manage it. But you know, that's not always our call. We're not always called to the easy and the nice. We're not always called to the comfortable, as I mentioned last week. Sometimes God calls us to a difficult assignment. And Daniel was definitely called to a difficult assignment. And how did he get through it? How did he do it? Kept his eyes on God and his faith. He kept his eyes on the reality that what's most important, and we've talked about this, is God's opinion of us, not somebody else's opinion of us. He kept his eyes on the eternal rewards, which far surpass the temporal rewards, the immediate rewards. And I believe more than ever, as Christians, we need to keep our eyes heavenward. No, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I'm not saying that. But allow heaven, the reality of God, and our eternal destination, allow that to inform our life, our work, our relationships, what we think, our attitude, and our behavior. And yeah, that might mean that some people might call you judgmental. They might even think before you've said anything or done anything, oh, they're a Christian, they're a hater. It's never been more challenging to love your neighbor as yourself. It's never been more challenging to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it's true at times we'll take some hits. We might even get a few chunks taken out of us along the way. Because some people, oh, they want their pound of flesh. Don't they? The third thing that we see in Daniel is he reminded himself that God does the impossible, that he does miracles. Daniel's gotten caught for praying in his house, not even in public, not even at work. They threw him into the lion's den, into the pit with all the hungry lions. And so because Daniel was so loved by the king, this is the third king that loved him. He woke up and he ran over to the pit, and the king called out, "Daniel, servant of the living God, whom you serve so faithfully, is he able to rescue you from the lions? My God sent an angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me." God does miraculous things. Did God do this? Look, this is a piece of cake after the furnace thing. We're stuck with miracles from the beginning to the end of the Bible. And nothing is impossible for God to do. Again, one of Andrew Brunson's comments was, I felt that this was impossible for God. I was discouraged. I was beaten down. He was even suicidal in the most difficult times of his imprisonment. Again, he was up for 3 lifetime sentences. For doing what? For doing what? He thought his circumstance was impossible. And yet, in his despair, he beat back that idea. And what did he hang on to? The reality he knew God loved him. God loved him. God cared about him. You got to love it. His mother went to see him. And she was a great woman of faith. And what she said to everybody is, "Stop praying for my son's freedom. Stop it." She went and met with Andrew and said to Andrew, "Andrew, go get in line. Go get in line. Yes, go get in line with everyone else who's paid a price for their faith. All of those that have been imprisoned, all of those who have been killed because of their faith. Go get in that line and feel honored. Feel honored that God has called you to this." Those mothers. See, it is about reminding ourselves that God can rescue us at any moment. And we may not know what God is up to in that moment where we need rescuing, and he doesn't come. He doesn't respond. I can tell you, he's up to something. He's up to something. And I'm like you, I don't... Please don't throw me in prison. Don't put too much of a challenge in front of me. I too have called upon the Lord, and well, it took him a little while to show up. And if he doesn't show up for you in this life, he will show up for you in the life to come. And that is the greatest reward. That is the greatest reward. One last thing that we learn from Daniel: when we live out our faith, it's a powerful, authentic statement to other people. Verse 26. For he is, this is Darius's declaration of faith. And it's inspired by what? By Daniel's faithfulness, by God's actions. He says, for your God, he is the living God, he will endure forever. Wow, even a pagan king gets it. Even a pagan king gets it. Daniel, your God is the greatest God. Your God is the God that can do miraculous things. And I can tell my kingdom will end, but his kingdom, it will last forever. He rescues and saves his people. He rescues and he saves his people. He rescues and he saves his people. See, it makes a difference when we're in relationship with Jesus. Listen to what the council said, the Jewish council said about Peter and John. They were amazed since they knew that they were just ordinary men, but they had been with Jesus. I'll tell you, you get with Jesus, you'll never be the same. I'll say this, you may feel that you're a very ordinary person, we all are, but God does extraordinary things with ordinary people who have met with him. And when you've met with Jesus, you'll know. Life is not the same any longer. I am not the same any longer. Life is just not all about me. Now it has a great meaning and purpose. See, Daniel knew his God personally. And he stood out. And he stood up. And as we meet with Jesus, as we know him, as we seek to live the life that he directs us to live, we will be able to stand up. Stand up in any circumstance. Why? Because we worship a God that rescues and saves. Let's pray. Lord, you know us well. You know us better than we know ourselves. And Lord, it's not as though we're not trying. We are trying. We're putting some effort behind it. Sometimes, Lord, we feel like we're rolling an uneven rock up a hill. But remind us that in those moments, you are truly with us. Father, we're thankful for the reminder to carry on a conversation with you. To remember in our everyday life as we get very focused upon what's just right before us, what's right down here on the earth, that you would lift our gaze to heaven and to you. Lord, remind us that lots of impossible things happen all the time. And Lord, I pray for those that feel like they're leaning against the odds somewhere in their life. You're really good at rescuing and saving when the odds are small or bad or difficult or hard. Lord, we want to focus on you, and Lord, we do to the best of our ability want to be authentic in our relationship with you. Lord, even in our struggles, as we've seen, there is something that people notice, that they take note of. And Lord, we do want to be spiritual tour guides. We want to lead other people to you and remind us that's more about who we are in you than what we do. but allow who you are and how you're working in us and through us, allow that to direct us and guide us and empower us. Lord, thank you for being a great God. Thank you for being our great God. And we pray in your name. Amen.